We look at Hebrews. I'm just going to keep continually reminding ourselves, why is it we gather together? What's one of the reasons? In Hebrews 10:24, just keep reflecting on this. It says, I will read 10:23 first. It says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." You're going to have to trust God today in what you're hearing, okay? Because we're going to want to doubt him as to how we grow in him. And let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So that's really the heart of it. How can we then go and do good works and love others? Okay? So, in light of that, we are in the book of Romans. If you have a Bible, open it up to Romans chapter 8. That's, if you don't have a Bible, you can grab one. It's page 808. Ooh, kicking it like 808. Never mind. I never knew what an 808 was. It was in every rap song. It's the bass. Okay. Anyway, just throwing that out there. So when you hear rap songs talk about 808, who knew that in here? A couple of you? No one? See, you know what's sad? Is the only thing you're going to learn this morning is what 808. You're like, that's cool. I know what 808 is. All right, anyway. Review chapter 7. First of all, is anybody else still thinking that the fact that Kirk likes DC talk? Okay, that was hard for me to continue on with the sermon. I'm like, Kirk's into DC talk? Really? So again, DC talk is like the Christian boys to men, or what's the other? Boys to Men? No? No love there? Okay. NSYNC? Anyway, Kirk was talking about Romans 7, and it was, you know, a section of the Bible that doesn't offer a lot of hope. And I'm going to read a section of it. So if you look in Romans chapter 7, I'm going to read 18 through 24. And I'm sure many of you can relate to this. It says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, am I really the one doing it? It is sin living in me that does it. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me." And then down to verse 25, it says, "Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ." Okay, so we're given this picture of this war that wages in us, wanting to do good but constantly doing bad. How do we get over this? How do we have this victory? How can we live a life that reflects God well instead of just every day being like, oh man, not again, completely blew it? Well, Romans 8 is a very good chapter. In fact, we're going to take 3 weeks to cover this chapter. So I'm going to spend most of my time in verses 1 through 6 and 8, in chapter 8. So we're going to spend a lot of time in that today. All right? So don't panic when a half hour in we're at verse 6, okay, because we're just about done at that point. All right? So go ahead. We're going to lead right in to Romans 8. In light of this picture of how do I do it? What do I do? How can I overcome this major issue in my life? Again, I think all of you sitting here can relate to this, right? If not, then you need to talk to people and, you know, tell them how you're growing and maturing in God, that you don't have to worry about that. But most of us are in that position. So let me read verse 8. It says, "So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ." The "so now" is in light of what we've seen in the previous chapters, especially if we look at verse 6 that Kirk went over last week. If you look at verse 6 from last week in chapter 7, it says, "But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and no longer are captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way." So this is a new idea to the listeners. The old way of having a relationship with God was under the law. What they didn't understand was that law was designed to show them Christ's coming and what Christ will have done for them. So this is a brand new idea, a whole new way of coming to God and coming into God's presence. And he calls it this idea of spirit, coming in the spirit. And just so you know, up until this point, spirit was mentioned one time. I think it's in chapter 5. Now we're going to see spirit mentioned about 17 times in this chapter alone. So we see this, again, this new idea. I mean, the spirit was even a new idea to them. Because we saw that after Jesus died, several days later, the spirit came to live in those who believed. Okay, that was a new idea. So this is all a new thought to them. Okay, next. No condemnation. What that means is that God will never condemn us to an eternity separated from himself for our sins. Okay, now listen to this next point. This is important. Because that we just kind of throw out. Like, oh yeah, you're not condemned. Yeah, that's great. Whatever. All right, justification is what that's talking about. Just as if it never happened. Okay, we talked a lot about this idea that that's what earlier Romans was about. Paul's saying, when you believe in Jesus, your sins are just as if they've never happened. And you have to believe that. Okay? And what Constable, he said, justification is indispensable basis for sanctification. So believing and understanding that your sins have been paid for is the basis and a necessary foundation to then grow. What sanctification means, grow in becoming like Jesus. Sanctification, the Bible talks a lot of it. It's just like you guys know. You can explain sanctification because it's just like this. A little baby's born and then it becomes an adult. Right? You can explain how that happens. Well, he's little, completely dependent upon its mother, liquid food, and then he gets a little older and starts getting some teeth and can start to chew on some more solid food, and then an adult is completely independent. Well, that's what sanctification is. Becoming a baby, or going from a baby, I could say becoming a baby because once you believe, there's this idea of born again. My son has an insect collection going off. If you could capture that, that'd be pretty interesting. It's like big and dangerous. Just get that for me. Anyway, I shouldn't have done it because everybody's like this. It's my fault. So sanctification, okay, is this growing, right? A Christian must believe that they are permanently accepted by God before they can grow in his grace and godliness. You have to believe that because the alternative is this. If you don't believe that you are justified, you will spend your life trying to do good works to get God's favor. Okay? And that will not get you in this idea of growing where God wants you. All right. So that's verse 1. Verse 2. "And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." Okay, there's a... I heard this in a couple different guys talking about this, and then I read it in a commentary, and it does make a lot of sense. It says the power of sin is like gravity. Okay, gravity is always there. First of all, I was shocked when I discovered that there's not a room that's gravity-free. Okay, again, I thought they're like in NASA, they had like a room that they removed gravity or something. And I was like, well, how do they do the movies? And here they just take a plane and drop it out of the air, and then you have a couple seconds of free fall, and you... no gravity like. But anyway, gravity is everywhere. You can't escape it, just like sin. There is no gravity-free room. Okay? And it says, the power of the Spirit is like aerodynamics. So aerodynamics, anyone that's into flight, you know, Bernoulli's principles and all the things that are involved in getting a plane to get up in the air. And it says that the Spirit is like that, that the sin is still there, but the aerodynamics can take over or overtake that gravity, so you're flying So the gravity doesn't really have an effect on you in a sense. So just like that's what the Spirit does. It can get us over the sin. Okay? And remember, we can go back to Romans 7 and say, yeah, we all deal with this. So we're all kind of sitting here, hopefully curious, like, okay, well, how does that happen? How does the plane get up in the air? How do we live in the Spirit to get over the sin that I'm dealing with every day? All right. We're going to say it's the Spirit. Verse 3. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Okay, so again, just leading up to this big idea of how we have victory over sin. And we're going to see it's directly related to what Jesus did. And again, if we're not sure on what Jesus did, okay, it says, so God did what the law could not do. That was make us right. Because again, we've said it many times, 10 commandments or all the 600 laws, if you can do them without breaking any of them, you're perfect and you're accepted. The reality is we can't do those, so we're not accepted. So how did God make us acceptable? He sent Jesus. Okay? All right. Verse 4. Again, getting to verse 5 and 6, the big parts here. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. Who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Okay, this is really getting to the point here. And it, just so you get there, it says, the just requirements of the law were fully satisfied for us. So the payment, which is death, is paid for. That's why Jesus had to die. Okay? Now, here's the big part. Okay? Focus in on this. It basically says this. Follow our sinful nature or follow the Spirit. I'll read it. It says, he who did this for us, okay, we'd be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So here we're starting to see what your choice is every day. You're going to either follow your sinful nature or you're going to follow the Spirit. Minute by minute, you have to make this choice. You have to follow your sinful nature or follow the Spirit. Now, by default, you follow your sinful nature. So what we have to learn to do is how to follow the Spirit. Okay, this is for that victory. Now, I'm going to read a large section of Galatians because it's Paul just speaking to a different crowd, essentially saying the same thing, and I think you'll find it interesting. I'm going to read 16 through 26. This is Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 26. Paul says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. There's that war that wages in us. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses. Again, so we see sinful nature and Spirit. They're both there. They're both battling. He's saying, please follow the Spirit. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, so if you're not sure what the desires of your sinful nature are, he tells us. The results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So if that sounded like your night last night, it probably wasn't what God had in mind for you. And please don't tell me that you did that to reach other believers. There's better ways to do it. Okay? I'm growing tired of that argument. Okay? I'm just throwing that out there, and I'm gonna start hammering that argument, so just be prepared. Okay. Because, I mean, it's pretty clear right here that that is contrary to the Spirit. What that is, it's code for, I still want to do what I want to do and pretend I'm doing God's work. Okay? Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22 says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. So here we see sinful nature, and now we're going to see spirit, which he calls fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, is that kind of a life you want? And you probably have tried those things, and they've lasted about maybe a half a day if you had a good day. Got enough sleep and everything was going right, you got a half a day in, right? That's because you're trying to do it. Fruit comes from the tree. It's born out of the tree. The tree doesn't just like muster up enough energy to pop an apple out, right? It grows out of it. It's a result of it, of the tree taking in nutrients and sun and everything. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Okay, so I still haven't answered any questions. I've just made you feel worse because I just put a list down that you're like, oh no. I don't do those. That's okay. We're going to get there. By God's grace, we'll start to do those. Next. Let me give you just my summary in case you're not sure what follow sinful nature versus follow spirit looks like. These are just some things that I think of that are a theme in the Bible. Go ahead. To me, following a sinful nature, it may not be drunkenness and wild parties. It may be something a lot more discreet, and that is just living independent of God. To me, that's sinful nature. We know it's sinful nature because we saw Adam did that. That was the first sin, living independent of God. Okay? Following the sinful nature is where I'm in control versus God's in control. And that's a tough one. Okay? Especially, you know, guys have been taught when they're little, okay, you got to be in control. Take control. Come on, man. Muster it up. Let's do it. Okay? So that's a tough one. Make much of me versus making much of God. I just think of you know, this is pride. That's what that is. That's pride. You know, you just, all the conversations you have, where when the person's talking, you're sitting there thinking about what you're going to say about how great you are that you can't even pay attention to what they're saying. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, that's because you're making much of yourself. Increase my kingdom versus increasing God's kingdom. How much of my thought is making more of my possessions, everything I have, my status, anything I can do to increase my kingdom. Okay, that's sinful. And lastly, living for now versus living for eternity. So in my mind, that's sin versus spirit. And my goal is to be more in the spirit category. Okay? All right, so let's see. What does Paul say? 8:5. Might want to underline these two verses. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Okay, go ahead. The key, as we talked about in chapter 6, is the same in chapter 8. The key to walking in the Spirit is your mindset. What do you put your mind on? What do you think about? you are either thinking about sinful things or you're thinking about things that please the Spirit. So, you either have a you focus, a me focus, or you have a God focus. Because this is boiling it all down to a victorious walk. How do you walk in the Spirit more than the sinful nature? And what Paul's saying is, it's what you set your mind on. What do you set your mind on? What do you fill your mind with? Proverbs is great. It's one of the few books of the Bible that I just recommend just reading straight there with no commentary. Just read it. It's common sense. And so much of it is, be aware of what you put in your mind. Because what you have in your mind is what you think about, and what you think about determines if you have a sinful focus or a spirit focus for those who believe in Jesus. So, all our thinking can essentially be put into two categories, a self-focus or a God-focus. Because this is it. This is big stuff. Now, the next verse says, just so you know, self-focus leads to death and a God-focus leads to life. So, go ahead. Consume yourself with yourself, all your thoughts, just focus on you, and that's it, and it leads to death. And that death could either mean temporary separation from God on this earth, or it could mean permanent separation from God for those who aren't believers. Okay? So, death or life? Now, how do we go about? How do we have a God focus? How do we set our minds on the Spirit? There's many ways in which this can be explained. I'm going to explain it this way. Manna. Okay? I'm going to go back to Exodus chapter 16. I'll just tell you what it says. If you want to read it, you can. I'll summarize it. We went over the book of Exodus, and I remember talking to Rob about this often. Just this idea of this picture that God gives us for having a relationship with Him. Okay, do you guys remember the picture that God gives us? The Israelites were freed from Egypt. They're in the wilderness. They hadn't had a relationship with God. One of the ways He develops a relationship with them is He gives them food. It's like dew on the grass every morning. And that manna, which means what is it, they go out and they can only get the amount of food they need for that day. Remember, some people tried to take extra and it turned into maggots. So, and by afternoon, it dried up and was gone. I think there's something to this. That is, getting up and getting the manna, which later Jesus, in John chapter 6, verse 49, I'm pretty sure it's 49, verse 49 says, Jesus is talking to the disciples and says, just so you know, I'm the manna. I'm the bread of life. Feed on me. Okay, all right, so we have this picture. God developing a relationship provides food. That ends, Jesus says, okay, to the disciples, just so you know, feed on me. They don't even know what it means. They don't get it. Then He obviously is crucified. And we look back, and I think that's a picture for us today. I think the picture for us today is every morning, now, don't get legalistic about this. Okay, I just want to encourage you, this is how I think an effective way to have a mindset on the Spirit. There's other ways, but I'm going to suggest one right now. And that is, every morning, set your mind on God through His Word, and that can work in a lot of different ways. Some of you, that may mean there's a particular song I listen to, and that just gets me totally focused on what God has done for me and brings up all these verses in my mind and makes me think of God. For some of you, it's writing out something. For others, it's taking advantage of your technology and actually redeeming it and having some purpose of it, and that is listen to a sermon, a teaching, something like that. I've talked to people recently. I actually had a conversation, I don't know when it was, maybe 2 days ago. Yeah, 2 days ago with a friend. He's like, man, Brad, he goes, I'm having a good week. I said, that's great. What's going on? You know what? I'm getting up every morning. I'm getting in God's Word. He goes, I have figured out that when I think I'm busy and don't have time for that, he goes, I'm not trusting God. He said, even though I'm busy, he's a busy guy, he goes, I'm getting up, I'm making time. He goes, and God is using that. He goes, even though I have to get up a little earlier, I still have the energy to get through the day. He goes, my mindset is right. He has no idea that I was teaching on this. It's just reaffirming to me that this is the way to go. I need help with this, right? Just so you know, don't feel guilty like I'm telling you what my every morning looks like. It's my hope. I know it's where I need to be. But remember, there's this war that wages in us. My desire is not to do that. But God, and through Paul, is saying, you got to do this. You need to set your mind on the Spirit. You need to set your mind on what God has done. And I think manna is that picture. Please, here's another thing. Thank you for being here. This is great. This is once a week. This is 30 minutes out of how many hours of being told by media to have a self-focus. This isn't enough. Okay? This doesn't cut it. It's good. I'm glad you're here. But please don't. Look at how much money they spend. What Super Bowl? I was going to say Super Bowl's coming up. I guess NFL season's starting. I'm a little off. Anyway, in February, because once summer's over, I'm like, oh, you're shot. Anyway, so it's just all one blur. Football starting. They spend millions and millions and millions of dollars for commercials. Okay, you've heard all this before. Because they're changing your mindset. You have to be effective. Have a plan to battle that. Have a plan with your kids. Please don't think that bringing them here on Sunday means you can wash your hands from raising them and having their mindset on the Spirit. They're in school all week. They're on whatever they're on. Their mindset is being challenged. Okay, you have to be proactive about this. Let me read Colossians in light of what I said. Colossians 3, this is a long section. I'm going to read it. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in place of honor at God's right hand. Listen to what he says. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Is that your day? Are you dwelling on, man, I'm really glad when this all ends, I'm with Jesus. Or are you just sitting there going, oh, what am I going to do? How can I manipulate this? I got to make this work. Again, it's a mindset. And he tells us why we should do that. He says, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden in Christ, in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Here it is. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. How do you put them to death? You don't set your mind on them. You don't think about them. You think about what God has done. He goes on, he says, have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Listen to this. It says, put on your new nature. That putting on your new nature, you'll see in a minute, is like putting clothes on. How often do you put clothes on? Every day. Right? It's a daily thing. And again, not to take this too far, but when do you put clothes on? In the morning. No, I'm just kidding. All right. You can do it anytime. Some people do it at night. That's great. I'm not saying you have to do it in the morning. Please don't take that out of context. I think you have to be in God's Word in some way to get your mindset on there, and I think morning's effective. Don't lie to each other, okay, for you've stripped off. Put on your new nature, all right? And then it says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I'm going to skip down to verse 16. It says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. How can what Christ has done fill your life? By hearing it for 30 minutes on Sunday? I don't think that's filling. Okay? Again, Penn State fans, do you just catch 10 minutes of the game and be filled with Penn State joy? No, you study it daily, off season. Okay? I'm just saying, maybe you should do that with Jesus, just a little bit. Maybe half of what you do for Penn State. Okay? And then this part says, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Okay, so maybe you, to set your mind, you need to be taught. That's where I think it's great to have sermons, people that you know and trust and have good teachings. Because to be honest with you, to pick up your Bible and to just start reading it is fairly confusing. And you see over and over, the Bible says, God gave, it doesn't say over and over, in a couple spots, God gave those to teach. Well, why did he give some to teach? Because it's kind of difficult to put it all in context sometimes. Okay? All right, so I cannot stress enough, Paul's given us the answer, and he's saying, set your mind on God, on the Spirit, on Jesus. And notice I don't have to tell you how you set your mind on yourself. Okay, that's default. Go ahead. Let me go to 7 through 9. Again, I'm going to go through this section fairly quickly. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. How? By setting your mind on the Spirit. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Okay, that last part, I just want to make a comment here. And that is, some people believe in the second baptism of the Spirit. It's not true. Okay, and this verse makes it clear. Because this verse says, if you believe in Jesus, you have the Spirit. It actually says, if you don't have the Spirit, you're not in Jesus. Okay? So there's no distinction. You believe in Jesus, you receive the Spirit, and then you set your mind on Christ, and then the Spirit guides you. Okay, 8 through 10. I'm sorry, that would be 10 through 11. But there is an 8 up there. And Christ lives within you. So when, though your body will die because of sin, and the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Okay, so that's the resurrection. All right, so this is an interesting quote. It says, whenever you see a Christian living the Christian life, you're witnessing a resurrection miracle. Right? You have new life. Your desires should change. People should that knew you before and know you after should say, something different about you. I don't see sexual morality, rage, anger as often as I used to. Okay? Because it's Trace, happy birthday, Trace. Trace turned 12 today. Good work, man. Way to get to 12 years. Great kid. Anyway, I watched this with him the other day, and I was thinking about it. And since I was thinking about it, it was on my mind. And then he started talking about it again. And so that's why I decided to play this today, because Trace reminded me of it. And before you play it, I'm not a huge Duck Dynasty fan, but evidently everybody else in the country is. And they have some interesting things to say. But the one older guy, I think his name's Cy, he actually was talking about resurrection. So it's 1 minute and 30 seconds or something. So we'll watch this. Nothing? Okay. Anyway, he just talks about it in a pretty clever way about how he sees resurrection all over. If it comes up, let me know, because there's not much left. I'll just go ahead and finish. So 12 through 14. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. So you can have victory over it. Okay? You're not a victim to your sinful nature. Okay? For you live by the For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Verse 15, I'm just going to go on here. 15 through 17. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. The one thing I just wanted to mention here that I thought was good was this idea of Abba being daddy. And I heard Joe Fox explain this, and I thought it was really interesting. Think about this. When we believe in Jesus, it says we're placed in Jesus. So that the Spirit then comes and lives in us. So now, when we talk to God, it's as if his own Son is talking. And that's why you see this Abba Father. We're now adopted to the point where God is daddy. Okay, it's not like and you know that relationship of a father and a child. It's just this close relationship that we now have because of what Christ has done. He did a great job explaining that. If you want to look him up and listen to it, that'd be worth your effort. ccphilly.org. Okay, let's see if this works.
You know, the Bible tells us in Romans, okay, hey, from what has been made, okay, that men are without excuse. Okay, and I talk to people all the time and say, well, you know, they said, you know, you believe in a resurrection of the dead? I said, well, sure I do. I see it all the time. And they said, you're a weirdo. And I said, I may be, but let me tell you, I see resurrection every spring. Wintertime here right now, everything is dead looking and dull looking. Okay? Hang around and wait here a month, month and a half, and that dull, dead-looking trees without no leaves and all that, you'll drive to work one day, and then, hey, you look, and, hey, there is an explosion of life like you have not seen lately. And, hey, the good thing about that is, hey, that's what he promises people that believed in his Son. Just like he raised his Son from the dead, he promises that if you believed in his Son, he will raise you from the dead. And look, that's what we're banking on. That's what all the Robertsons are banking on.
Anyway, the point is resurrection. And we're going to look at the environment and how it's affected by God coming up. Okay, I'm going to pray and then take questions, comments, and we'll go from there. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for providing. Thank you that we do have your word. Thank you that we have the ability to set our mind on you. I think of how our country was founded with one of the tenets being that we all become learners and readers. And the original idea was so that we could read your word. Pray we take advantage of that education we've received so that we can set our minds on you. And then we can walk in the Spirit and ultimately make much of you. Again, thank you for this opportunity to get together and pray that we do more and more each day look like you. Amen. Okay, questions, comments? Yeah, Tara.
I don't know about everybody else.
Yeah.
I find myself falling off the path every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the comment was, you know, I find myself walking with Jesus, and then I find myself not walking with Jesus, falling off this path. Is that normal? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, that is the struggle of being on earth.
Not necessarily not believing, not being where I should be.
Right, right. It's not that you're unbelieving, it's just you just choose to follow something different yourself. And because it is, in a sense, this work to follow God in that discipline and things like that that make it get us where we want to be. But absolutely, and this is why I think it's so important to start to develop some sort of habit, some sort of routine. And, you know, other parts of this walking in spirit, you know, the fellowship, people that you surround yourself with, times that you pray, all those things pushing you towards this walk that, yeah, by default, we don't wake up saying, oh, I'm just going to have my mind set on God all day today. You know, I do believe there's this, we have that role in filling our mind and, yeah, it does take a lot of effort. I just think of it as like fitness. Like we know what we need to do to be fit. It's not like a mystery, but we just don't do it. It's just a pain. Like, I don't want to work out. Right? And then we're like eating donuts and we're like, I don't understand why I feel so bad. And we're like confused. But we're not confused because we know if I would just do this, I would feel better physically. I think there are a lot of similarities to that.
It's funny because it seems to be when our lives get busy, the first thing we cut out and the last thing we remember to bring back when things turn into chaos and we're wondering what's going on. Like I had it together a month ago and now I feel like crap.
Right.
And then it seems to be the last thing we try. And then
yeah.
Hey, just checking in, how are you doing this week? What's, you know, if you have a buddy like that, it's really helpful to know that person's praying for you. And just remember that, but those things that God allows in your path are always to bring you back to Him.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that's good. Success story. Let me add something here because thanks, Sherry, for all that. And, you know, do you remember I started off saying that we have to believe God's promises? I want you to know right now that you're accepted by God based on your belief, not accepted based on if you get up every morning and spend time with Him. Okay? So this isn't meant to be, you know, this setting up the scenario of defeat and then frustration and all that. I really want it to be encouraging to go in that direction with this idea that you're going to fail to some degree and don't beat yourself down, okay? Because I don't want that to happen, because then you just throw your hands up and be like, I can't do this. It's just not going to. There are seasons. You know, I don't want to see you in that situation, but please don't take what I'm saying and extrapolate it to somewhere I didn't take it, which was your acceptance of God is based on how many mornings you spend with Him, if any. Okay, it's based on what Jesus has done. All right. Any other questions or comments? Yeah. Right. Can you guys hear Jim? Jim just got back from Kuwait not long ago, and he's just saying the environment's not good there as far as having a mindset on God. That's a good point. He made this point that when they were being shot at, the church attendance shot up, right? Because now you realize you're going to be 6 feet in the ground at some point, maybe sooner than later. And that's that having that right perspective, eternal versus now. You know, a lot of us live like we're not going to die. Well, you are. Again, I always like to try to encourage you as much as I can. One other thing, I didn't read this, but I've heard it recommended, a book called Too Busy Not to Pray. It sounds like a good title. Bill Hybel, I don't know how you say his last name, is that right? Hybel. I heard people say it was a good book. It was this idea of, you know, busy life, and it's really not the time. Did you read it? No? Okay. Too busy.
That's too busy praying.
Yeah, okay, good. Oh, Bob. Bob was praying, good, in his closet. Yeah.
I'm a little mixed up. I'm just feeling like a little disconnect here.
Okay.
Between the sin nature and this spirit nature. You know, you indicated that you can have victory over.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this going to be a lifelong battle here on this earth?
Yeah.
Sin nature?
Sure. Yeah, the victory isn't like a permanent victory, like 4 months of dedication, and then bam, you're done. Yeah, I didn't mean it that way.
Okay, so, I mean, it's a lifelong, we're going to have this fight on this earth.
Absolutely.
As each one of us walks.
Yes.
Okay, here's the other part.
Okay. Did everybody hear what she said? Because that's important. She was asking about, you know, the idea of a sinful nature and a spirit nature, and she said, you know, I said that you can have victory, but in having victory, you're going to continue to have defeat the rest of your life until you die. And that's really why Paul, you see at the end of his life, is like, man, I'm just ready to go. I'm tired of defeat, right? Because here's a really interesting thing. The more spiritual you get, the closer you get to God, the more you recognize your sin. So now, I mean, it's that even shows you it's a never-ending battle.
Well, and then here's the other part. You know, God's word says I'm a new creation.
Right.
Okay, well, how come I don't always feel like a new creation because I'm always sinning?
Right. Okay, so the question is,
how about the line where it says I've been crucified with Christ, it is me that no longer lives, but Him and me. And
right.
I feel disconnected. Then I feel like that all the time.
Okay, so the comment is, okay, the Bible says I'm a new creation, but I don't feel like a new creation. Okay, so the new creation is this idea of being born again as a new person and being placed in Christ. So I'm a new person in Christ, meaning God doesn't see me as a sinner anymore. Okay, I'm a new, as far as my sin, He doesn't see my sin. Okay. But we're also aware that even though we're this new creation, we still have this, it's called Adam, this old sin nature, this nature, this desire to want to live independent of God in us. So even though God sees this new creation, we still possess or maintain that nature that we had from the beginning of our life that doesn't disappear until our death. So what does God want us to do with that? What he wants us to do is believe that he sees us the way he says he sees us, as a new creation. We have to believe that because we don't feel that. That's what Watchman Nee refers to as take your seat. Watchman Nee says, take your seat, meaning sit before God as he sees you. And then out of that, we want to pursue God and live in the Spirit, knowing that we still have this sin nature that battles, that causes us to fall. Does that make sense?
One of the things that helps me deal with that is when we talk about being born again. You're not born again as a 70-year-old mature Christian. You're born again as a baby Christian.
Right.
And now, just like your physical life, you need to mature and grow and walk the walk. So, you know, that's why, even though I'm 58, I can think of myself as being about over 30 years old, because that's my real birthday.
Right. Right, so yeah, so regardless of your age, when you accept Jesus, you start off as a baby in God, and this, that's where the sanctification comes in.
And also, I don't think we can always base it on feeling.
That's a good point.
Feeling-driven, but feelings can be very deceitful.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Right.
Doing that every morning, so to speak. And I just had this visual of, you know, like God has this store where the clothes of righteousness are. And we can get that those new clothes every morning. Well, during the day, we're going to get some stains on.
Right.
And that can be our sins or the things that, you know, we don't live up to God's standard. And you can choose to keep those dirty clothes on, or you can go back to God's store and get yourself a new set of clean clothes from Him.
Right.
So,
right.
Right.
But you're still God's possession. You're still his child. Just, yeah. And that's that in Christ. That's being in Christ versus, you know, walking in the Spirit, walking in sinful nature. Yeah, I'm glad this is being said, because I'm sure there's some confusing things that I've said. Because it does sound confusing. It sounds like I'm saying, you know, different, like, same thing, different ways, and just... Hopefully you're getting it. Okay, this is it. This is the crux of it right here. Okay, so continue to battle. Trace. Yeah, so the question is, if the whole manna Jesus connection, why could they only collect it in the morning? And I think what that was about was developing a dependent relationship daily on God. And I think that that's a picture for how we have to be about Jesus. In other words, you just can't go and take a Jesus class for 3 weeks and be like, oh, that's it, I'm done. I know all the Jesus I need to know, and I'm good. Just like the manna. And you know, if your life, I think that food picture is really relevant, because... You know, if someone came to you, I heard it described this way, and they're like, oh, I just feel horrible, I don't have any energy, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, well, what's going on? I'm just not hungry. Well, when's the last time you ate? 3 weeks ago. Well, your response would be, you might want to get some food in you. Well, it's the same thing when people come to you like, oh, my life is just kind of, you know, I'm just so self-focused, and I'm just angry, and I just, well, when's the last time you... fed on God? Well, I was in VBS in fourth grade. Okay, well, you might be hungry. You might need God's word. Right? Okay. Anything? Thanks for that question, Trace. Any other questions? All right. thanks for listening and paying attention. I appreciate it. We're going to move on.